Thank you, Greg. Good afternoon, brethren. And a happy Sabbath to all of you. Yeah, that's what it's all about, the Sabbath day. And we're here to worship God, appreciate the first message, and certainly whenever someone comes up here to speak, it doesn't matter who it is. God always provides, and he blesses, and he creates a situation where we're all eager to learn. That's why we're here. And so thank you for being here this afternoon. We know there's others that, for one reason or another, are not here. But I want to go over a couple things that pretty much are tied together. And I know that all of us in God's church, elders or members, receive a particular, what shall I call it, a particular letter from the Council of Elders. Actually, it's the Victor Kubik writes something, and so does Donald Ward, the chairman of the Council of Elders. And they do this pretty regular and regularly, rather. And then they mail them to the elders first, and then the next day, I believe, they mail them to all members. So I think that all of you received what I'm going to go over today. Do you understand what I'm saying? How many received that already? It's there. Maybe you haven't looked for it, but it's there. And so this is an area that I think it's important for us to look at and to read and to study. Because what are we talking? Who are we talking about? We're talking about Dr. Ward, who is the chairman of the Council of Elders, and our pastor happens to be in that council also. And they're speaking to the whole church. And so I thought this time I would go over that with you and actually read to you this particular latest one that Dr. Ward has sent to us. And I'm trying to tie the word encouragement right along with this, because when we read these letters, some of them are stronger than others, of course, but the point that they're trying to get across, I know they're the leaders of United, the point they are trying to get across is to help us on that narrow way that we're all in. And so it'll take a little while, and I'll do my best, and hopefully it will work out just well for all of us. So this is the one that Dr. Ward sent, and here it says, here's what it says: "Dear fellow elders and brethren, I wonder how often we reflect and meditate on the significance of our calling into God's marvelous light." And we have a lot to be thankful for that, don't we? "I wonder how often we thank our loving, merciful Heavenly Father for calling us at such a time as this." So he's writing this, not just elders, he's writing this to all church members. "In view of the chaos and confusion that exists in the world today, how blessed we are to know the truth of God." And that was something we were being told in the first message. "That truth sets us free from fear, ignorance, superstition, and the dogmas of man. We are not just another religious movement seeking to gain converts. We are members of the body of Christ, the Church of God. the Israel of God. There's a lot there, and certainly when you read yours, you'll see a lot more than I have just read. What is the theme of that precious book, the Bible? What is the theme of that precious book, the Bible? It's the book, we say, that is so near and dear to our hearts. The book that through God's Spirit reveals to us the keys to the kingdom. The theme of the Bible can be expressed in the following ways: the kingdom of God, the family of God, and God is bringing sons and daughters to glorify in his family. Well, there's a lot of encouragement thoughts there for all of us, what he just read. At a fairly recent regional family weekend, he says, a 1992 graduate of Ambassador University, and Dr. Ward was president, I suspect, at that time. A graduate of Ambassador University called me aside and said, "I have something I want to give you." He pulled out this weathered and yellowed 20-year-old index card. He said, quote, "You gave us a speech of exhortation and what to hold on to just before we graduated. And I wrote the key points down on this card." He went on to tell me, that several times through the years, he has pulled out this card and it provided him with the anchors and the guidelines to continue to fight the good fight of faith. He went on to say, "I have made copies of this and I want to give one to you." He then continued, "I am going to pass this on to my children." Excuse my hoarseness. I've been, you know, that sometimes it comes when I've been practicing with the choir. I have this little pill that I take and it helps. So, and drink some water. He then continued, "I'm going to pass this on to my children." The key points on that card summarize what I call, quote, the trunk of the tree. Why were you born and how to become a member of the family of God? Dr. Ward goes on and says, "Today there are many religious and secular voices crying out, warning people to flee from the wrath to come. As noble as these efforts may be, most do not really know why God created humankind in the first place. They do not understand their God-ordained potential of becoming glorious, radiant, spirit beings in the kingdom of God. It is awesome to contemplate the fact that in the resurrection, your very essence," he's talking to all of us, "your very being will consist of the eternal spirit of God and Christ. On the day that the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell in men, when the New Covenant Church began in AD 31, the New Testament had not even been written. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not exist. None of Paul's epistles or any of the general epistles had been written, and the book of Revelation had not been revealed and recorded by the Apostle John. They did not know or understand many of the end times prophecies that some people get so granular about today. They were not concerned with, quote, who is the beast? Who is the false prophet? The most significant prophecies that they were concerned with were those that centered on the coming of the Messiah. The Jews were not looking for a suffering Messiah who would come and die for the sins of the world. They were looking for a great geopolitical leader who would restore the kingdom of Israel to the glory and splendor that it enjoyed during the reigns of David and Solomon. Today, the Zionist Jews are still looking for such a messianic figure to come on the scene and bring peace to the world. Even the apostles did not understand the gospel of the kingdom of God and God's inclusive plan of salvation. The apostles witnessed the crucifixion, and even though Jesus appeared to them at least three times after his resurrection, they still did not understand much about the kingdom of God. Let's note the first kingdom promise in Exodus 19, 5 through 6. And I'll read it. He has it down. It says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and indeed keep my covenant, then you shall be of a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words which thou, now write it, I'll read it the way he has it, "thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." This is the King James Version throughout, which puts in the thous and these. They misunderstood the promise in 2 Chronicles 13:5 that was made to David concerning the kingdom of God. And here's he quoted, "Ought you not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt?" They thought that the prophesied kingdom would be a physical kingdom. Isaiah also prophesied that a descendant of the seed of David would sit on the throne of David in Isaiah 9:7. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever." The zeal for the Lord of hosts will perform this. Then Dr. Ward goes on, another paragraph. He starts with Daniel. "Daniel also prophesied of the establishment of the everlasting kingdom of God in Daniel 1, 21 through 22, where it is stated, quote, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Again, in verse 27 of Daniel 7, it says, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Those are prophecies to us, brethren, wonderful prophecies. And a new paragraph, it says, the exact phrase, quote, the kingdom of God does not appear in the Old Testament. The phrase, the kingdom of God, appears once in 2 Chronicles 28:5. The apostles were not converted during Christ's ministry on earth. Luke 22:32. On one occasion, after the resurrection, Jesus opened their eyes of understanding and explained to them the purpose of his mission, and he commissioned them. Note that beginning with Moses, he expounded to them the things that were written of him. And so there's scriptures here about what he was doing at that time, explaining to them. And the scriptures are, if you want to take them down, or well, you'll have your own copy. Hopefully you will. Luke 24, 36 and 41 through 53. Perhaps they came to grips with the essentials of conversion shortly after this, as they waited for the Holy Spirit to be sent. Just before Jesus ascended to his Father's throne, they asked him if he would restore the kingdom to Israel at that time. Their understanding of the kingdom of God was still vague, as they were expecting the restoration of a physical kingdom. Now, I'll just make a few comments here. The fact is, there they were with Jesus Christ, our Savior, walking with him, talking with him, hearing him talk, and they still did not understand about the kingdom of God. And we are blessed because we do understand. We do understand because they were expecting the restoration of a physical kingdom. And we know the restoration will be a spiritual kingdom. So let's go on with what Dr. Ward writes. The kingdom of God, and I just mentioned it, is a spiritual kingdom. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. As Paul states in 1 Corinthians 15:50. It was not until the days of the Apostle Paul that the church began to understand the deeper spiritual meaning of the kingdom of God. The trunk of the tree in the individual sense centers on knowing and understanding the answers to the great question of life. To a large degree, that gospel of salvation is summarized by what I call seven of the great questions of life. And I've had the privilege of sitting in a in an elder's education meeting and heard him say these even then. And let me go over them, because they're very, very excellent, outstanding. And here are the seven. It says, number one, does God exist? Number two, who is God? Number three, what is God? Number four, what is God's purpose? Number five, who is man? Number six, what is man? And number seven, what is man's purpose? They're very simple. They're very simple, brethren, and I'm going to read them again just to kind of, we can just think about them. And you can, of course, read them also to yourselves later. It says, the great questions of life. Number one, does God exist? Who is God? Number three, what is God? Number four, what is God's purpose? What is God's purpose? Who is man? What is man? What is man's purpose? You cannot really understand the keys to the kingdom unless you have an understanding of the great questions of life. The answers to these great questions should be on the tip of our tongue at all times. Now, I'm going to halt right here before I finish. Those seven that he just stated here in this particular notice that he sent, actually letter, to all of the elders and to all of the brethren in the church. Understanding those is tremendous, because we begin to understand the great answers of living, of who we are. People don't know who we are in that sense, and I'm not here to put any other churches down, but we have had a great calling, all of us here, and we're learning week by week. And we're not perfect. We forget, but we continue day by day, Sabbath by Sabbath, and in those messages that we receive continually, we receive answers to these questions, and we can also, of course, get the answers as we read and study our Bible. There's so much to learn. And then he goes on and says, there are at least five great understandings that have been restored in the Church of God in recent decades. And he mentions these. He says, these truths are, number one, the nature of God and Christ. The nature of God in Christ. Number two, the purpose of God. And the purpose of God and human existence. Yeah, the purpose of God and human existence. And then in parenthesis, he puts in the Why Were You Born booklet, being the capstone. Number three, the spiritual law of God is eternal. Number four, a grand overview and understanding of God's awesome plan of salvation as revealed by the holy days. The holy days are so very important for those that claim to be Christians. Brethren, I think we understand that. Number five, that the saints are born into the family of God. Born into the family of God at the resurrection. And that we are changed from humankind to the God kind. This means that this means that as resurrected spirit beings, we will be on the same plane of existence as God and Christ. Revelation 1:5, Romans 8:11, 14 through 17, and then verse 29. The answer to the great questions of life and basic understanding of the trunk of the tree are where we must focus. He's talking about what he has written to us at this time. I think that's great, wonderful. And so I can't implore you enough to get your copy and read it and look at those scriptures. It's just tremendous. It says here, we must hold fast and never let these precious truths slip. When you come to understand God's great purpose to creating humankind and know that at the resurrection you will be born into the family of God as a glorious at the resurrection, you will be born into the family of God as a glorious, radiant spirit being, right, ruling and reigning with God and Christ and the saints in the kingdom of God. Then you will have a grasp of the trunk of the tree. Once again, we were created to go from humankind to the God kind. Of all the understandings that Satan hates, this is the one he would pervert. Before I finish, how many people out there understand that? Very, very few. That we were created to go from a human to a God kind, a spiritual humankind to the God kind. Of all the understandings that Satan hates, this is the one he would pervert. He knows he is shut out, so he will do and is his doing everything he can to subvert the great truth. And then he mentions the Trinity heresy. Please see my article on the Trinity in the current issue, it just came out, of Beyond Today magazine, which contradicts this. Great truth was at the heart and core of the great heresy that split and shattered the church into scores of splinters. I suspect that the final battleground, Dr. Wards is finishing it with this, I suspect that the final battleground will be over this very truth. I hope and pray that you and I will never let these things slip and that we will be willing to give our lives for the trunk of the tree. Now, and then he says, in the service of God and his Christ, Donald Ward. Brethren, I can't tell you enough, encourage you enough to read these articles that come out when they come out. And sometimes I think they're monthly, sometimes they come out every couple of weeks, but when you see them, read them and study them, and certainly they're precious, and they're good for us. And obviously most people, 99% of the world, doesn't understand this. And here we are as brethren, another Sabbath day, and when I see you out there, I just want to encourage you, because encouragement goes straight to the heart. And that's something that's important for all of us, to encourage one another. And how can we encourage one another? Well, we encourage one another by being here. I mean, that's a very, very important thing to think about, to just be here. But we also can encourage one another by communicating with one another, talking to one another. Sometimes we're in and we're out. And I'm not here to condemn any one of you. I know you have your reasons, but the fact is, we have that responsibility, all of us, to get to know each other and to encourage each other and ask each other certain questions. Who are we? Where were we? Where were we converted? And it's something that's so, so important. We are the body of Christ, and we are a family. It's not easy to understand, but we have been a family ever since all of this started, and we're someday going to be members, spiritual members of the family, of the family of God. You know, there's many ways that we can encourage each other. I think that if I ask, your hands could go up, and some of you are very good at that. But then, and I'm not here to say you don't encourage, but I'm just here to tell you, to encourage you, encourage me, that when we see or read these kind of statements by one of the leaders of our church, that in itself is very, very encouraging. And we're here because we have been encouraged to come here. And so I want to commend each one of you to continue to come. Don't be lacked in anything that has to do with the church. Don't take things for granted, brethren. And I don't say you do, but I'm just saying, I'm talking to myself. That's very, very important that we realize that church, thinking of God and thinking of his way of life, is more than just going to work. Just going to work and coming home. That Sabbath, this Sabbath day, is such a wonderful day for all of us. And it's just something that we have to then break down and look at that word encouragement. And one thing that I think about is to appreciate the positive things of others. Don't focus on the negative, because that's not the way to go. Focus on the positive. And many of you are just wonderful people. You are all wonderful people, don't get me wrong. But just encourage one another. And one of the things, of course, is just communicating with one another, even saying a hi or a hello, or getting to talk to one another. Some are shyer than others. I understand that. And that's not wrong at all. It's just those of us that are like to talk more, perhaps go up to others and get to just talk to them. You'll be surprised how much we can learn from that type of individual, and just share anything, even just a few words to others, and even mentioning a few words of praise to them for the person's abilities or accomplishments, about how they've either helped us in our relationship with God, or just helped us in just being here, being present, talking to us, and not ignoring each other. And I know that we all have personal friends here that we've known for years and years and years, and there's a few still coming in here that we really don't know. So think about that. Think about that, and give them a little patting on the back, and talk to them and ask them questions, and you know, dig into their past. They're here. They're members, and it won't be long. It won't be long, and they'll be right into the flow of being part of the congregation, and certainly part of the family of God. Writing someone a note or a card is very, very helpful. Just writing something, say whatever it is. I receive some still regarding the death of my wife, and I appreciate that. But it's encouraging. I'm not asking for that, by the way. But the fact is, just a regular card to others, you know. And I'm not saying I'm a great card getter and all of that. I'm just saying these are ideas of letting people know that we care for them, and that they're part of our family, and just letting people know that we're praying to them. And it's something that's so, so important. And as members of the body of Christ, we want to write in our notes something that's on the spiritual side, you know, and whatever it is, just a little comment here and there, and being encouraging is an encouraging person is something that we all need continually. It's not one thing that we just do once a year or during the feast days. It's something that is part of our being, part of our way of living. And of course, we know, those of you especially, who have the little children, you know, being an encouraging parent to them. And that is very important for them to receive encouragement from you as parents. And of course, by the same token, those of us that have been here a long time, we see a new member, and we do have a few members, get to know them, talk to them, and if there's a chance to go out to eat with them, that's another thing to do. But I'm not asking for that either. Just that term, encouragement, is a powerful, powerful word. And we can see in the Bible many examples about how people were encouraging one another in many ways. And Jesus, of course, is the great encourager, just living here and giving his life for the sins of the world. So, brethren, let's think about that as we continue. And I was going to say the Beyond Today magazine was mentioned here by Dr. Ward, and he has an article there. And actually, our pastor has two articles in there. Not that that's anything special. I'm not into that. But the fact is, be an encourager to our pastor. Send him a note and thank him for whatever it is he did. Or thank him for the articles or things like that. And just, it's not That's not too complicated. Or just say, shake his hand. I read the Beyond Today. Thank you very much. And that's something too. That it always encourages people. We have people behind the scenes that work here, not work here, but are involved with the work of the church. And we appreciate that. There are people here that stay late, by the way. They're the ones, someone has to clean this whole area. And they're there, and they stay late while the rest of us go somewhere else. And encourage them and thank them. And we have, of course, we have deacons that work behind the scenes. We have people upstairs behind the scenes. This is something that I thought would be important. And it's nothing fancy, nothing that is strange. We understand those things. But so with those things in mind, plus with the fact that we have this powerful, powerful message by Dr. Donald Ward, the chairman of the Council of Elders, who was also the president of Ambassador College before everything came apart, it seems. And so he's not a naive man. He's a very, very kind, humble person, excuse me. I've had the opportunity to meet with him in through the years, but think of these things. Read what I just said. Think of it in terms of how can I bring across what he wrote in a way of maybe encouraging others. So, brethren, I'll end my split sermon with these words, and certainly looking forward to seeing you a little later at the coffee social.